out of coffee? No need to worry. Mater Dei Radio is brewing a second cup of the morning blend.
Well, Brian, I believe that you have started drinking coffee very quickly. Looking back to the beginning of the show, we were all connected. We did our little wave on the camera. Good to see you here and ready to start the show. And then when the music started, literally it was must have been at the last second before we went on the air, you stopped blinking in the camera. And I went, boy, he's looking a little stiff this morning. I'm not quite sure what the problem is. And I realized you weren't moving. And I said in a little message, did I lose you? Yes, I did. You had a power surge this morning.
It was crazy. Yeah, I was just getting ready. I took a deep breath. I had my smile on my face and all ready to tell you about this fun weekend I had with my granddaughters. And then poof, for 10 minutes, I'm fighting technology in my studio trying to get reconnected to the morning blend. But
We're glad you made it. We had a great weekend, but I did share with all of our listeners, we did go out to eat because the weather is beautiful. And boy, we are making the most of it because we know that it is just the faucets just about ready to turn back on around the Pacific Northwest. We make the most of these beautiful fall, you know, well, it's not fall, it's still summer for another week. Just these end of summer days. I'm definitely going to take time to go out for a walk, but we went to dinner with friends out on a pier kind of between Washington, Dougal and Camas, and we were a little bit kind of on the edge of the floating part of the pier and the solid part, so we did kind of move just a little bit back and forth, which was a little exciting for that. So it was fun, but I got to know now, what was so wonderful about your weekend?
Well, just Saturday afternoon, I got to hang out with my granddaughters, and it was fun to be able to babysit because my son and his wife celebrated their 10th anniversary already. So the girls got to hang out with Boopa, is what one of them calls me. The other one calls me Bampa. So, yeah, those are the fun little pet names that my girls have for me. But, yeah, it was a beautiful day here as well. So we played outside, and they went down the slide. We played in their sandbox and just soaked up a gorgeous Saturday afternoon. So when mom and dad got home, they were good and dirty. They were worn out and hungry. And it's like, well, Bampa's job is done. I'm going home. Have fun with that.
Yeah, try to get some food in them after all the sugar you've been putting in them and give them a bath before they go to bed. It's wonderful to be able to be near our family and our children and our grandchildren. I think that is just wonderful for grandkids to be able to see their grandparents, especially when they're so excited to be able to see them and be with them. So that sounds like a wonderful weekend, that's for sure. You know, you said last week you went and saw the Hamilton, they call it Hamilton because it's the 10-year anniversary, and it was on the big screen. Me and my daughter went with a friend of mine. The three of us went and saw it. It was almost an empty theater. And I sat between these two. It was like stereo. These two knew every word of every song in that play, which was a lot of music. There's actually not a whole lot of talking parts. It's almost all musical. And boy, I heard it on the screen and I heard it in each ear. And I had a good time doing it. So it was a great weekend for us as well. Of course, we went to Saturday evening mass, which led us to have an open Sunday, had all of the kids and family in town over for Sunday night dinner. I let the crock pot do the cooking yesterday, so it was great. Today, though, is the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. And I said I was going to quiz you. We'll call it a pop quiz just because you didn't show up at the start of the show. So that I thought, well, if he's not going to be here, he's just going to answer it. It's not a quiz, but we are going to talk about one of the ways that you can honor Our Lady of Sorrows is by praying the Seven Sorrows Rosary. Now, this is a very specific rosary that you would have to purchase. It's not like, you know, so many things like a Divine Mercy chaplet can also be prayed on your regular rosary, five decades of Hail Marys, or you can use the same to pray the Divine Mercy chaplet, five decades of the prayer of Divine Mercy. But the Seven Sorrows Rosary is a little bit different because it's seven sets, though, of seven Hail Marys. So that's what makes up the Seven Sorrows Rosary. And so I just thought we'd spend just a moment talking about what each one of those seven sorrows are. And boy, there are many ways for us to be able to associate our sorrows to that of Mary. Now, we also talked last week a little bit about the age of Mary because it was her birthday. And then we talked about how old she would have been, like, say, to put on a candle. Historians say somewhere between 14 and 16 years old was how old. When I'm thinking about what I was doing between 14 and 16 years old, I was a freshman. That was maybe my freshman to junior year of high school. I was a cheerleader, going to school back and forth. I think I had a job at the local supermarket. Nowhere close to thinking about marriage or having children. That actually would take me another, 12 years before that came about in my life.
Yeah, it's really hard to think of the Blessed Mother being that young when she became a mother. I mean, obviously, things were so much different in, 2,000 years ago that people did marry early because oftentimes, lifespans weren't exactly all that long. So they did get married and started having their families much earlier. But we're going to walk through the seven sorrows.
Yeah, let's walk through them. Because if you look at the image of our sorrowful mother, it is her heart is exposed. And there are seven swords that are piercing her heart. So that first sword of sorrow, the prophecy of Simeon. Now, this happened when they brought Christ to the presentation and she heard this. So again, we're talking about just an early teenager. And so that's Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself, a sword will pierce so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So that he said to a very young Mary. So that is the first set of seven. Now, the second one is interesting because it wasn't until recently did I really understand the depth of what this was. And it was the flight into Egypt. That's when, after the birth of Christ, Joseph in a dream was told to take Mary and the Christ child and flee to Egypt. What struck me was that they were going back to the land as Jews, going back to the land where they had been enslaved for many, many years, right?
Yes, I'd never put that together before.
I did not either. The good deacon was pointing, he goes, "Do you understand where they were going? They were going back to the land where they had talked about, the Passover that they celebrated, to the land where all of that had happened." So that's the second one. Now, the third one was, and look, many, many a parent could kind of relate to this one, and it was the loss of Jesus in the temple. Now, unfortunately for them, he was kind of about 12 years old, maybe they say, and they were in a caravan, the Holy Family, but some of the men were with the men and the women were traveling together, and each one maybe thought, oh, Jesus is with the other. When they finally came together, and it had been more than a day, they realized neither one had Jesus and they had to go back and find him in the temple. I have lost my children before, maybe 20 minutes. Once two of the kids kind of wandered off and they were even older and went back and we were waiting for them and they didn't show up and there was lots of people around. We couldn't find them. They were lost. Mama was upset and boy, when you find them, you're relieved. But then don't you just chew them out for putting you through that?
Oh, absolutely. And it could happen at a shopping mall, a supermarket. I would suck all of the air out of the room gasping that I've lost my child for 3 minutes, not, let alone 3 days that Jesus was lost before they finally found him in the temple. Number four, meeting Jesus on the road to Calvary, Jesus carrying his cross to the crucifixion, and there stands his mother. To be able to lock eyes like that and really understand, because you wonder, you know, when did Mary really understand the full gravity of Simeon's prophecy? You wonder if maybe it was in that moment.
Perhaps it was. And in fact, the rest of those sorrows does have to do with the passion of Christ. After his crucifixion, there Mary stands just to be with him. Jesus dies. He's taken down from the cross is the sixth sorrow. And then finally, the burial of Jesus. And we have all known people who have had to bury a child. And every one of us says the same thing. That is not the natural way that it is right. supposed to do be for parents. We do not bury our children. It is a heartache that no parent wants to ever go through. And so those are the seven sorrows. So on this feast day of the Blessed Mother of Our Lady of Sorrows, perhaps consider going online. You can pray that rosary. And we hope you enjoyed today's Second Cup.